Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin, and we are on YouTube, Familia. Please make sure to give us a like and subscribe there. And it is time for week 13, la semana 13, lucky number 13. We do not believe in superstitions here, people. Familia, we are, but we also believe in having special guests, invitados de lujo. I've got another great one for you. A good un buen amigo. We go back almost 10 years. We worked together at the Dodgers. We played fantasy football together for a season or two. He's an avid player. You might know him as the fantasy umpire, but I call him Dan. Also, mi amigo Daniel Kitchen. Mi amigo Dan, welcome. Bienvenido to the Familia FFP podcast.
Thank you so much, Jorge. It's great to be here. I love chopping it up with you. This is a pleasure, man.
Oh, it's a long time in coming. So, Dan, you know, so you've left for bigger and better, you know, greener pastures. You're with BZAPR now, and I'm glad you're able to fit us in because I know you got a big event tonight. Tell us how kind of like the transition post Dodger life, and if you want to give a shout out to the event that you're working today.
Sure. Yeah. So obviously, Jorge and I met with the Dodgers, and I miss those days more than anything. Really, it was such a blast. And looking back, it went by way too fast. I was with the Dodgers for the 2015 season. It felt like I was there for a decade, really. So I miss those days. But I am with BZAPR now, and I'm over here in Uncasville, Connecticut, for a Bellator event. For those of you that aren't familiar with Bellator, it's similar to the UFC. It's an MMA promotion. And we have Bellator 272 tonight. It's going to be live on Showtime at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. So tune in for that. It should be a fun one. We have our Bantamweight World title on the line. And yeah, looking forward to it, man. It's great to be back with you, though. I really mean that. Jorge and I used to have lunches all the time and haven't really been able to do so because of the pandemic. And so virtually chatting with our friends is kind of the new norm. And it's just great. Great to see your face and talk with you, man.
Oh, man, I mean, this is, and it's always been so fun to talk fantasy football. I mean, we could do this coast to coast. I mean, I just love the fact that we can film this and talk about it. Now, I want to ask, you know, so we played in the True Blue Fantasy Football League. That's a 14 team league. Mm-hmm. What, you know, and there are so many formats to play nowadays, and just, you know, beyond redraft, there's Dynasty Fantasy, Superflex, Daily Fantasy. Any favorites beyond the single quarterback?
So believe it or not, I'm in three leagues this year. One of them is a 14 team league, your standard league, half point PPR. And then I'm in two 10 team leagues. But before you judge me, because I know the 10 team leagues, you know, it's like, well, it kind of takes a little bit of the strategy out of it, right? A little bit more room for error. My buddy kind of turned me on to these Yahoo Pro Leagues. I had been doing 14 team leagues before that. And he said, hey, you might want to check this out. You know, it's kind of a fun way to do fantasy football, to play fantasy football, and you can win legitimate money, right? It's kind of like, think of it more like gambling than your traditional home league with friends. And so, the leagues are all standard scoring. The 14 team league is obviously, it has an added element of strategy there just because of the sheer volume of players that are drafted. But yeah, the 10 team leagues are doing all right. I believe I'm 7-5 in one of them, 6-6 in the other. And then my important league in my mind, my Syracuse league from all my, with all my buddies from college, I am in second to last place. I am 3-9, I believe. Yeah. So it's been a rough year. You know, I'm one of those guys that was, just ravaged by the running back injuries and, you know,
who hurt you this year?
Oh, who didn't hurt me? So let's start with Antonio Gibson. You know, yeah, he's picking it up now, but unfortunately, he had the rough string of shin injuries early on in the season. And so I was right in the thick of that, along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was my first round pick. And yeah, from there, it was down. It was a downfall very quickly and very fast for me.
Oh, it's just it's so painful when it works out that way. I mean, I know those are two guys that I've ridden with, and one, CEH, I may be I'm kind of on the cusp in one league. Antonio Gibson, he's coming on at just the right time. We had a couple other guys. Getting Deebo Samuel kind of cures a lot of ills.
Yes.
So that one kind of that one helped a lot. But really just he's really helped a lot. But man, I tell you, it's so hard with the running back injuries. And I mean, so many people are starting to talk about, and we talked a little bit about this off air, are starting to talk about, you know, more receivers in the first round next year, kind of maybe a 50-50 split. And I think it's something that in the moment right now people talk about, but I think when July and August roll around next year, I think that safety blanket of getting the running backs early is going to come back, and we may be having these same conversations next year.
Well, and if you think about this season too, we were robbed because we lost Travis Etienne before the season happened. We lost J.K. Dobbins before the season even started. So we lost some potential fantasy studs this year. And I was huge on Cam Akers. You know, I play in best ball leagues where I was drafting back in June and July, and I was taking him in every single league because I thought, man, Matthew Stafford, if you look at what he did in Detroit, And you think about, you pair him with with McVay. I felt like that offense was going to be electric, and it was at the start of the season, and they made it work with Henderson. But can you just picture that offense with Cam Akers at full strength? It's scary.
Oh, even with Darrell Henderson, they've been good. But yeah, and I was really huge on Cam Akers, and I was so excited for his potential, and just crushed because an Achilles injury for a running back is not an ACL tear you can predict that the guy's coming back. I mean, I'm talking to injury experts, and it's just like, it's very unpredictable for running backs. Other positions like linemen, it's a little more predictable, but and they pointed out no elite running back has ever come back from an Achilles injury, but Akers. Mm-hmm. Oh God. I mean, that's the thing. Maybe we should have known at that time what kind of year this was going to be for running backs. And crushing, but
the writing was on the wall for sure. You're right. that was red alert. We can't have nice things in fantasy.
Yeah, we can't have, this is not the year for the running back. This is not, yeah. No, and just CEH. I have one team that was just so powerful. It's like 9-3 and, in a neck and neck battle for first place. And CEH is my number one running back, but, I'm going to go into the fantasy playoffs with, I got lucky with Cordarrelle Patterson later in the draft. So we'll see how that one goes.
And one more note too, they do talk about the Achilles injury being one of the tougher ones to come back from, but you look at guys like Marlon Mack, right? Mm-hmm. He had an Achilles tear. He looks pretty healthy to me. You know, they're obviously leaning heavily on Jonathan Taylor right now, and therefore don't want to use Marlon Mack, and you get it, but I'm a little surprised they didn't trade him, and whatever team was going to trade for Marlon Mack, I had my eye on that one for sure. So I think Cam Akers, my point there is, I think Cam Akers will come back full strength. There's even talk he might be coming back this year, right? As soon as week 17 or the playoffs, but I hope they don't rush him.
I hear that kind of talk, and it just sends a chill up my spine. That and Derrick Henry, them saying he's going to be back for the playoffs. And I sit there and I'm like, the injury experts just keep saying, don't rush that injury, because the rate of re-injury when it's not fully healthy, it's no bueno, mi amigo. Just get them healthy. I mean, we've seen enough, and coming from the baseball side, we've seen enough injuries, and hopefully you don't see any injuries tonight at the Bellator event. So fingers crossed.
The injuries that we witness at MMA events are very different from football injuries, but it's crazy sport for sure. Both of them.
Yeah. My elbow, all my joints are kind of tingling right now, just thinking about what could be happening at the MMA events. But hey, you know what? They know what they're going into. So, my good friend. But, we have, con permiso, we have the news section, which we call chisme in Spanish. Chisme is gossip. So we're going to get in a little chisme right now, and it's all injury related, familia, and Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins coming, their game time decisions, Dan, coming off the bye, how nervous does that make you feel?
Well, a little nervous. I think it is coach speak to an extent. I think that mm-hmm. Kingsbury doesn't want to show his hand, right? He's holding that close to his chest. He knows that the Bears have a very formidable defense. I think this is going to be a tough game for Kyler. I don't think it's one of those games where he comes out and just, you know, drops a bomb on the defense and throws for 300 yards and four TDs. I think it is, you know, more of a grounded out game. I think it might be a James Conner game. But yeah, I'm not too worried. You got to fire Kyler up. You've held on to him this long. You know, I'm buying into the narrative that he and D-Hop coming back together, I think they connect for a touchdown. You got to start Hopkins, especially with the state of the wide receiver position right now. And for me, unless you have a guy like a Joe Burrow, for instance, I think that's a solid debate. Granted, the Chargers are more of a run funnel defense. I still think Burrow's a solid play, and that would be the type of guy that I would consider sitting Kyler for. But, you know, unless you have one of those fringe QB1s, I think you're firing up Kyler this week, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you have Kyler, aren't you sitting? Aren't you like, I'll forget about the quarterback position in some. I only seem to have them in super flex leagues.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, where I'm grabbing quarterbacks left and right, but yeah, I mean, with him, it'd be so crushing to see him. And actually, his injury just kind of like leveled that team for me. So that's, and I have to hear about it because it's in one of my family leagues. So,
oh, you know, yeah. That is the worst.
So I'll be hearing about it at Christmas time. So I'm even the commissioner of that league, but but yeah, that one's something to watch out for. Now, a couple of players got ruled out. DeAndre Swift ruled out, so it's firing up Jamal Williams. We're going to talk about him in a little bit, so we won't get into that one too much yet. You know, you've got your New York Football Giants colors, and so you know, Daniel Jones getting ruled out. How that neck issue, just Mike Glennon starting up this week. Does that make you at all worried about any of the receivers? Because I know Kadarius Toney is possibly sitting out this week too.
Well, it's funny, right? Because Daniel Jones is out with a neck injury, and here comes the quarterback with the longest neck in NFL history, right? And taken from a guy with also a giraffe neck, you know, it's pretty funny to me. But yeah, I think that offense is going to be fine. I think Miami's defense is a strong play with the way that Mike Glennon works. I think we can expect a lot of checkdowns, a lot of Saquon Barkley catches this week, short passes. But you know, Glennon's not afraid to air it out. I think he's going to be, there's probably gonna be a lot of turnovers, probably a lot of interceptions and fumbles, but this offense is not going to be shy. I would still fire up Saquon. I would still fire up Kenny Golladay if you have him. Although, yeah, it's a tough matchup, and Miami's defense is probably as hot as anyone right now. So makes you a little nervous.
En fuego. They are in fuego. I was looking at their number. I actually put them as my QB, my defensive streamer of the week, because they're just getting turnovers and sacks like crazy right now. So, but yeah, I think the thing is with Tua should be able to throw the ball this week a little, and I think that'll make this a fun game. First, because Miami will score, but I think the Giants are going to go out there. I think they will use a lot of Saquon this week, which I'm hoping that this is like that healthy, that first truly healthy week for him. Oh, because I need
one thing to note too. You know, obviously Miami plays a lot of man to man. I think the Giants have mentioned even last week they want to get Kenny Golladay going. They want to get him a touchdown. They tried to hit him in the end zone in the right corner last week and just missed him. But I think he scores a touchdown this week, even against a tough secondary. And on the other side of the ball, Jalen Waddle, who has just been tearing it up, you know, breaking rookie receiving records. I think he just passed Odell last week. He's a tough one this week. Logan Ryan plays the slot. He runs quite a few routes out of the slot. I think that's a tough matchup for him. And even on the outside against James Bradbury, just really no soft spots in this Giants defense. They're coming off of a great performance. You talk about hot streaks for defense and special teams. The Giants, they torched Philadelphia. So I think this is a low scoring game. I would take the under. I think that there's going to be quite a few turnovers and fire up the studs. You got to play Waddle. He's so fun out there, but he makes me a little nervous for sure.
Oh my goodness. Oh, love the analysis. Melvin Gordon, doubtful. Yeah. So I think this might get all of the fantasy community, all those Javonte Williams truthers are going to go just ballistic if he's ruled out. Where are you feeling on this one?
Free Javonte. He is the most explosive running back in the league right now. I love watching him play, man. He bulldozes would-be tacklers. He's great on the receiving end too. I don't know if you caught his catch and run last week for 40 or 50 yards. He's a big play waiting to happen. If you even watch him back in his North Carolina days, I am shocked that he went later than the first round. I thought for sure someone was going to get him, even the Steelers. I would have argued Javonte Williams over Najee Harris, but when you look at what they're doing, you can't argue it, right? Najee's more of a true three-down back, but I can't wait. I hope they fully unleash him. I believe the third string running back there is Mike Boone, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So look for Denver to use him too. I don't think they're going to just give Javonte Williams a 30 carry game and just say, go ahead and run away with this. But you know, this is setting up to be a shootout in Kansas City. And I think Javonte Williams is going to have his breakout game on national TV.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game. And we'll talk about Mahomes in a little bit. A couple other Andy Dalton starting for the Bears. So, then it's looking like Allen Robinson is doubtful. There's officially no Justin Fields going to be seeing the grass this week because they already put Nick Foles as the backup. It makes me a little nervous for Darnell Mooney. You mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Having the stomach flu, but he should be fine, they say. So
he should play. Yep.
That one's, but still, oh God, you don't want to see guys, at all, just kind of feeling any weak from stomach flus can be so debilitating on guys.
Yeah. And as a Lamar Jackson owner, whenever I see stomach flu or stomach bug, it makes you wonder, beforehand, before Lamar, it was kind of something to, you brush it off. He's got the stomach flu. These guys are football players. They play injured. He'll be okay. And then Lamar, of course, missed that game. Yeah. And so now it makes you wonder with CEH, they've got a solid backup there with Williams. So they could give him a little more work and let CEH rest in a game that they should win. Denver's defense is playing well. And I think that should be a very close game and hard fought game, but I think Kansas City will win and they can win without CEH.
Yeah. That one's, I'm very interested. We'll talk about Mahomes in a little bit, cause that game's going to be, there could be some Mahomes QB1 type, QB1 overall for the week, possibilities for that one. But
yeah, one thing to note too, Denver, they are very susceptible to the deep ball, right? They don't play a lot of cover two. So I could see Mahomes taking some deep shots. The fantasy community loves to hate Mecole Hardman. You can toss my name in that hat as well. That guy has just not performed ever since they drafted him out of Georgia. He seemed like the perfect fit in the Mahomes and Andy Reid offense. And man, he just doesn't get it, does he? And so someone is going to catch the deep ball. I could see Hardman breaking a long one. You could see Tyreek Hill having a career day. But at end of the day, it's the offense runs through Travis Kelce. So once he gets it going, forget about it. I would take the over in this game. I would take Kansas City to win outright. And I think they do cover the spread as well.
Yeah, that's going to be I think that's going to be a fun Sunday night game. And I think this is going to be the beginning of Mahomes kind of going back to being Mahomes for the I think guys got healthy, but we'll get into that one. We'll get into that one. Darren Waller won't play in week 13 against Washington, so he's got a knee injury. Foster Moreau, you're firing him up. That's a tough one because Washington secondary has not been good this year. And Taysom Hill, mallet finger. Ay, Dios mío, that one hurts. That one hurts on so many teams for me.
That is a brutal injury. Yeah, and it's funny. I haven't heard of the mallet finger in 20 years, and then all of a sudden it pops up with Russell Wilson and now Taysom Hill, and it seems to be commonplace in the NFL. So the good news is it doesn't sound like he needs surgery, so I think he's going to play through this. It's not quite as banged up as Russell Wilson's finger was, so I think he will play through it. He's a tough guy. We all saw it last night, right? He's playing through ankle injuries, foot injuries, you name it.
I think that one, that's tough because New Orleans did seem to have a team that everything around the quarterback was talented, except for maybe some, you know, needing some talent on the wide receiver side. But yeah, I mean, the defense, the line, Alvin Kamara in the backfield, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just one of those seasons that's just not meant to be.
So. Yeah, I think so. And Michael Thomas obviously didn't help the issue here. And we were promised that Marquez Callaway would be the easy replacement for him, but that did not turn out to be the case. So yeah, I think brighter days ahead for New Orleans, and they probably need to just throw in the towel at this point. Obviously, they won't do that, but this is not their year for sure.
Yeah. Again, the omens, we should have known. We should have known.
Yeah. Shame on us.
All right. So let's get into some adentro y afuera, in or out. We're going to kind of do it a little bit differently this week. Then instead of just going game by game, we're going to take some some players, could be individual players from a matchup or individual or kind of like a pair of players, kind of comparing them to one another. And we're going to start over in Hotlanta, where the Falcons are hosting Tampa Bay. So we got Gronk versus Pitts. So we got Rob Gronkowski, tight end 4. He's the Fantasy Pros ranks him as the tight end 4 for this week. He's coming off a big week last week where he got 123 receiving yards. He got 2 touchdowns against Atlanta in week 2 in a big win. He's still running plenty of routes. He's still got a 27% target share last week compared to Pitts, who really, since he had that big game in week 7, 163 yards, he hasn't topped 62 yards since. And he's only got 11 targets the last couple of weeks. He's the tight end 6 going into this week. I mean, were you kind of like, before the season, were you on the Pitts train with everybody else?
I was, and I always bet on talent when it comes to fantasy. And I think that's what we have here. Pitts is more talented, but, in fantasy football, volume is king, and Gronk is quite clearly the number 2 or 3 option in this offense. You could argue at times he's the number 1 for Brady. You can just tell on his reads. He is usually the first or second read. And Pitts, you can't trust what Atlanta's doing. I don't exactly understand the offensive philosophy here, but of course you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt without Calvin Ridley. That offense changed dramatically when he was out. And so I think Pitts, he is super talented, but he's not getting the looks. He's definitely not getting the red zone looks. You know, they don't even look his way in the end zone. And so until we start to see that, which it could happen this week, Tampa Bay we all know they're a pass funnel defense, and Atlanta's probably not even going to try to run the ball this week. I could see a lot of dump offs to your boy, Cordell Patterson. But aside from that, I think we should see a heavy dose of Pitts, but I say that every week and here we are, you know, he's not doing it.
I've been asking for it and asking for it. And it's just kind of like, I'm remembering before the season, I interviewed a beat writer from ESPN, Mike Rothstein, who had seen the rookie tight ends with TJ Hawkinson and with Eric Ebron. And he said, you know, they just don't explode like Randy Moss or Justin Jefferson last year or Jamar Chase at times this year. They just don't. And I still kind of thought, he even said the talent is there, but yeah, I'm not expecting it to go nuts. I mean, I'm kind of like, I think this is Gronk, because you're right. It has just been that continuing that happy marriage from the New England days. And it just looks like he's not slowing down one bit, even coming off of that injury the last couple of weeks. He's got 17 targets in those 2 games. So he's looking for him. And the other thing about Pitts, they really seem to be putting a blanket on him. They're double teaming him a lot. They're letting Patterson beat them. So I want to believe, because the Buccaneers are number 23 against the tight end since week 8. And so all these rankings that we have when we talk about defensive rankings are going to be since week 8 to kind of have more recency. But yeah, hard to take Pitts over Gronk in this one.
Yeah. And you mentioned at the beginning of the season with Pitts too, right? He was the debate there was the talent taking over the narrative of rookie tight ends not producing. And you know, what we were all promised is that he would be used more like a wide receiver than a tight end, right? So it was, okay, forget what we know about rookie tight ends. That's out the window because Kyle Pitts will be used like a wide receiver. We're going to put him in the slot. We're going to put him out wide. And they do that. And so that's what's so frustrating to me is he should have been the anomaly here. He should have been that one tight end that finally takes off as a rookie. And we just didn't see it. And I don't think there's any reason to believe we will see it going forward. That would have been after the bye week, but things just haven't really changed there. And I think Atlanta is just kind of in that no man's land, kind of like Seattle. They don't know if they should be rebuilding right now or if they should be going, putting all their chips in the middle and going for it all. But to me, this feels like it could be one of Matt Ryan's last seasons. I feel like Atlanta needs to start fresh. They've already dropped the ball on a couple of draft picks, and the Kyle Pitts pick at the time, it really didn't make sense. As a football fan, he's the guy you want your team to get. I remember when the Giants had the top three pick, I believe they took Saquon at number two. I wanted Saquon, of course. He's the fun guy. The kid in me wants Saquon. But if you step aside for a second and put on your GM hat, everyone knows you don't take a running back or a tight end that early in the draft. The argument could be made for a wide receiver nowadays, but you need to build from within the trenches. You've got to build around your O and D lines right now. And unfortunately, teams just don't always do that. So that's what we're seeing with the Giants. That's what we're seeing with Tampa with Atlanta. And, you know, their records show.
Oh, man, that one's big time.
Tough, yeah.
Well, let's go to the Queen City. We got a couple of interesting matchups. So, I mean, obviously these players don't match up against each other, but you got Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow, the two of the first three quarterbacks taken in the 2020 draft. Herbert has obviously come out offensive rookie of the year last year. You know, we talked about it. He's had some great, great games. I mean, that Sunday night game against Pittsburgh just probably elevated him. Actually, that helped me beat a team that had Jonathan Taylor. If you can, you know, five touchdowns. Can you believe that? If you can believe that, that was amazing.
One of those miracles.
Oh, it was just a miracle game. Yeah, it was. And it was all that Sunday night game. So,
I mean, is there anything better in fantasy, right? You could be 1-11 right now, but if your one win came in that fashion, you'll take it. It's the best. It's the greatest high.
And it was against the first place team. So
It was
definitely a good one. It was definitely a good one. But you get, you know, we talked about it. Herbert has been a little bit on the inconsistent side, though he does have 300 plus yards in three of the last four games. Last week was kind of like an ugly 300 yards against Denver because he just seemed to be under siege the whole time. You got Cincinnati that has been pretty good against the pass. They did give up 405 passing yards and three TDs in week eight to Mike White, of all people. You know, you got Herbert throwing some picks at you, four picks in the last three games. You know, and then on the other side, you got Burrow. He hasn't passed a lot because of the other guy that we're talking. They're really kind of closer to 50-50 split on run versus pass. The Chargers have been hard to pass against a little bit easier lately, but if you know how fun is this though, this matchup between the two quarterbacks who were so highly ranked and so highly drafted a year and a half ago?
Well, we're looking at the future of the AFC right now, right? These two quarterbacks are generational talents. Herbert has stayed healthy, whereas Burrow has not. But I think this is going to be a great game. Should be a shootout. You look at the Chargers defense, it's a run funnel. You know, they are leaking a ton of yards on the ground. And so you think about Joe Mixon coming off of one of the best games of his career. He should have a field day. As a Joe Mixon owner in two of my three leagues, I could see Samaje Perine vulturing a few touchdowns on the 1 yard line. So he's a decent flex option for those deeper 14 teamers. I think Cincinnati's defense is playing well. I think that they are going to test Herbert, but like I said, he's one of those talents I am not going to bet against. I've bet against him a few times already early on in his career and it's bitten me in the butt. So I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Burrow has a nice day. I'm still waiting for Ja'Marr Chase to have that blow up game that we saw early on in the season. He is due for a big one, right? It feels like he's due for one, but then again, you look at that secondary, not a lot of holes. Derwin James is back there. He's right. Playing center field. It's tough to throw deep against the Chargers. So I think they're going to have to grind it out and look for Mixon to have a big game. I think the Chargers wide receivers may have a tough one here. You know, Cincinnati's D-backs have been playing very, very well. So I think it's going to be a big Austin Eckler day, probably quite a bit of Jared Cook as well and the tight ends over there in Los Angeles. But Herbert might be able to do it on the ground and his feet as well. He's very fleet of foot. So I either way, they're gonna score points. I just think that it'll come a lot easier to Cincinnati because they will get the ground game going early.
Well, let's talk about the ground game. I mean, these are two of the top-ranked running backs for this week. You got Austin Eckler, who's the RB2 in Fantasy Pros rankings, and Joe Mixon, RB3. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is going to be a showcase game for both running backs. It's almost going to be like, a classic NBA game where two of the, Russell Westbrook against James Harden kind of game where it's just two guys that are just almost going one-on-one with with everybody else around them. But two very different running backs. Yep. So, I mean, Eckler is getting 6 to 8 targets the last 3 weeks, and Mixon has just been pounding it and pounding it, 30 plus touches in each of the last two games since their bye week, and 8 touchdowns in the last 4 games. I mean, this one's going to be a fun game. This one's going to be a fun game. I think Eckler could, I don't know if Eckler edges him out, but I think he's going to have a big receiving game because you had Michael Carter a couple weeks ago going for 95 receiving yards against the Bengals. But the Chargers are giving up yardage like crazy. I mean, they gave up almost 200 combined all-purpose yards to Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon last week. So, this is going to be, how fun.
I think you're right. I think it is a big Eckler game, and I think his yards are probably going to come after the catch. More so than on the ground, but it's funny. If you look at Cincinnati, they gave us the heads up on this kind of change in philosophy a little bit. They wanted to commit to the ground game 2 weeks ago, and they did just that. And you've kind of seen the offense transform from pass heavy to run heavy, and that's going to benefit Burrow. And they know that he's fantastic on play action. And so that's exactly what this is going to set up. We're going to have a couple of play action deep passes, and he's going to be looking Jamar Chase's way.
It's going to be awesome. All right. So now we're going to the battle of the backups down in Detroit, or up in Detroit. So it's kind of almost the Great White North. The 0-10-1 Detroit Tigers, Detroit Lions. That sport will happen in about 4 months. Believe me, Fami.
Detroit fans are waiting for it. They trust me. They're waiting for the Tigers to come back right now.
Lions and Pistons, no bueno. But it's, and you get the 5-6 Minnesota Vikings going up there. It's going to be a dome game. There's going to be no issues with weather, but it's a battle of the backups. Alexander Mattison taking over for Dalvin Cook, who's out at least a couple weeks. And when you hear torn labrum for a running back, it just at this point in the season almost feels like end of the season. And then Swift with an AC sprain and his AC joint sprain. These guys, I think, but you've got Alexander Mattison and Jamal Williams both ready to just kind of take full loads. And we've already seen it with Mattison having a big game against Detroit in week 5, where he had 153 total yards. This matchup for both running backs, it's so juicy for both, don't you think?
Yeah, not a lot of defense here, right? We're going to see both teams find success on the ground. We know that Kirk Cousins is great in play action, so that's going to lead to success on the other side of the ball as well. One name to keep an eye on, though, and I'm sure you've heard of it. It's been floating around there in the fantasy community. Kine Nwangwu, I believe is how you pronounce it. So he's 23 years old. He's a rookie out of Iowa State. I think the hype train is already starting for this kid. If you look at his metrics on Player Profiler, he's got it. He's got the it factor. He's fast. He's strong. He's powerful. He's hard to bring down. He's a pass catching back. I still think that it's a big Madison day, but Kine Nwangwu is definitely a name to keep an eye on. I would stash him. I don't think you can play him right away, but Zimmer has already said that they're going to try to get extra looks for Kine. So That's just a name to monitor at the moment. We'll see if that turns into anything this week. And then for Detroit, they've already said that it's going to be Jamal Williams week. They are just going to give him a large load of work. And I think he has proven time and time again that he can handle it. And so, I think it'll probably be very little defense here. I think it's probably going to be, I would take the over. Let me see what we have here. It's 46.5. You know, that's a pretty high total. I would take the over in this game. And I think Detroit covers. I think this is actually a sneaky survivor pool disaster waiting to happen here. A lot of people are big on the Vikings this week. And I think this is actually a tough matchup for them. You know, if Detroit comes out and has success on the ground, if they can slow this game down a little bit, I could see them pulling out the win or at least making this close.
Yeah, I've got I'm taking the Detroit Lions plus the points on this one. I love home underdogs, you know, especially when it gets up around 7 points and definitely when it's double digits. Quick note, double digit home underdogs have covered every time.
Really?
This season. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been that kind of a year, right?
It really has. That kind of year.
And one thing I don't understand, Jorge, is the fire Dan Campbell chat. I don't understand that. I never want to see a coach get fired, but especially someone like him, I feel like he's building something there. And we talked about Sig Bloom earlier, and he's talked about this on his podcast. But you know, Dan Campbell's building something there. Fire Matt Nagy, I get it. He's putting his rookie quarterback's future in jeopardy. But I Campbell has been. I kind of like what he's building there, and the injury bug has hit that team almost as bad as any other team I've seen. You know, they've had cornerbacks go down left and right from the start of the season. And I like that team's identity. At least they have an identity. As a Giants fan, I appreciate that. You know, it's something.
Yeah. I honestly don't ever believe in a coach getting fired after a season. You know, they brought in Jared Goff, and I mean, I was a Goff fan until last season, but he doesn't have a lot of weapons other than DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson. The defense, you don't rebuild a defense right away. So I just look at this one. I always say every coach should get at least 3 seasons. Every new coach should get at least 3 seasons unless something like colossally goes haywire on the team. And I don't think that's happened because these guys are still playing hard. And I mean, they've lost some heartbreakers, and
they have,
if they could have a couple wins, turn around, and then they're going to get, they'll have a high pick next year. Maybe, you know, this is going to be a big pass rusher defense, it seems like. So let's stick to week 13 on this one. We'll talk about 2022 another day.
And real quickly too, on the Vikings side of things, I like all the pass catchers. You know, I was actually down on Thielen last week, and I played against him in a couple of leagues, so he burned me there. I will not make that mistake again. I think Thielen, Jefferson, you can fire them all up. Wide receiver ones for sure.
Yeah, and it's a sneaky play that I'm playing on one of my deeper leagues, Tyler Conklin, because Detroit's number 27 against the tight end. So
yeah points aplenty here, right? I think a lot of offense in this game. This is gonna be a fantasy friendly environment.
Oh, I love in a dome. I love December games in a dome because they're so predictable.
Predictable. And one more thing too, we touched on Kine, the backup in Detroit now, Jamar Jefferson. He's also a rookie, I believe, out of Oklahoma State. He's looked great when he's had work this year. So I could see him getting a couple of touches. You know, when Campbell came out and said that it's going to be a heavy Jamal Williams game, it makes you wonder how many touches Jefferson will get. But if he does get in the 5 to 10 range, which is very possible, I think he's going to make a little bit of a splash this week. So that's another name to stash.
So I've got a little bit of a battle for the next one, the battle of the rookie wide receivers, almost both of them first round draft picks. You had Devonta Smith, the number 10 pick overall, and Elijah Moore was the number 34 pick. So he just snuck into the second round. These guys are, you know, among the top rookie wide receivers this year. And this week they are back-to-back wide receiver 24 for Smith and wide receiver 25 for Moore. So many reasons to like the two of them. You got Smith with 22 targets over the last 4 games. You know, his air yards are up there with 38% and zone targets. So he's the number one guy on the Eagles. But then you go to the other side, you got Elijah Moore. And plus you saw what they did to what the Giants did to the Eagles last week. So you know what can happen there. But the Jets defense isn't as stout as one of my primos loves to say. And you got more, but you have more over there with at least six targets every game since the week six bye. You know, he's getting a 35% target share. Zach Wilson is still kind of figuring it out. You know, do you have kind of like a feeling on either one?
This is a tough game. This is a really tough game for me. So I usually start with the running backs, and I think that Miles Sanders is going to play. It sounds like he's going to play. It sounds like he's full strength. I think he's off the injury report. And the other running backs are not so lucky this week in Philadelphia. So it sounds like this is going to be a Miles Sanders week with Jalen Hurts dinged up. I could see them leaning a little bit more on the run. And this is an offense that has, you know, slowly become more run heavy over the last couple of weeks anyway, to begin with. So I think we see a lot of Miles Sanders, a lot of Kenneth Gainwell. It's really tough to trust any wide receiver right now in Philadelphia, except for Devontae Smith. So
yeah,
I think you have to fire him up. This Jets defense is not good. You can beat them on the ground. You can beat them through the air. So I expect Philadelphia to win this game and to put up some points. And on the other side of the ball, Elijah Moore, he's a tough one too, because he played better with Joe Flacco and the backups than he did with Zach Wilson. And Zach Wilson, we've already seen it, he has tunnel vision for Corey Davis. And so with Corey Davis coming back, you know, I expect to see more of the same there, even though he's probably going to see some coverage from, I'm drawing a blank here, from
Darius Slay?
Slay. Yeah. So probably some blanket coverage there from Slay. And I think it's going to be a tough day for the Jets offense. Philadelphia's defense is no joke. And I could see this being a bit of a blowout, a bit of a runaway for Philadelphia.
Yeah, as long as Jalen Hurts is healthy enough to go, you know, he's battling that ankle injury. I think this could be a good game, a really good game for them. I mean, this is a seven point spread for the Jets at home. So another one, home dogs.
Yeah, and one thing too with Elijah Moore, it's the same sort of thing as Kyle Pitts, although we are starting to see the Jets target Moore a little bit more. And so we'll see what happens with Wilson, but he didn't have a great game last week. I want to say he finished with about 50 or 60 yards receiving, Elijah Moore. This is a tough one for me. If Flacco was starting, I would say you have to fire up Elijah Moore, but with Zach Wilson under center, there is an added element of unpredictability here. So we'll see.
I actually started Elijah Moore over Jalen Waddle and T. Higgins in one of my leagues, and it just, yeah, that was a tough one last week.
I did the exact same thing. I started Elijah Moore over Jalen Waddle. I kind of needed that home run, and it turned out that Waddle was that home run. So I missed that. It
turned into a swinging bunt.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so this is going to be the last one of our player battles. You got Antonio Gibson ranked as the RB10 going into this week, and Josh Jacobs as the RB18. Both of them, I mean, I honestly think this is a week that Gibson could be a top five running back, maybe even, because his touches are just spectacular. 26, 19, and 36 in the last three games. And you got JD McKissick out with a concussion. I think this could be a huge game because the Raiders are just bleeding yardage to running backs, both rushing and receiving. I mean, Daryl Williams went for 144 total yards recently with 101 yards receiving. So, and Joe, you know, our buddy Joe Mixon had a huge game against them in week 10. So I'm just looking at this one as just a home run game for Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, this one could be high scoring as well. The over-under is at 49.5. Vegas is favored by 2.5 points. But, you know, if I'm Washington, obviously this is a must-win game for them, right? You're coming off of a Thursday night game with Dallas here. Dallas wins on Thursday night. All of a sudden, they have two more games with the Redskins going forward, with the football team going forward. And so now Washington is kind of in this position where this might be a must-win game for them. They're one of the hottest teams in football right now, but The Vegas Raiders are a tough one to pinpoint for me. I'm not so certain that their defense is as legit as they have played and looked recently, but I think Washington can put up some points. I think it's a big Gibson game. I don't think he's going to see as many touches as he did last week. I believe he had, you have him down for 36, right? 36 touches last week. So
yeah,
that's going to be tough to match for him. I think Heinicke will have to air it out to beat Las Vegas this week. I think that Las Vegas puts up a lot of points. Like you said, Washington's secondary, although they've played better in the last few weeks, I still think you can beat them through the air, and especially with the deep ball. And Carr definitely likes to air it out. But Deshaun Jackson, I believe he popped up on the injury report this week as well with a calf injury.
Yeah.
So we'll see there. I think it looks like he should play. If he does play, I really like him as a flex option. But Deshaun Jackson is obviously one of those guys that is, he's susceptible to the in-game injury. And as a fantasy manager, you hate to see that. And it keeps you up at night knowing that you have to start a player like that. But that should be a good game, though. Sneaky shootout, 49.5. That's a tough one for me. I would take the under. I think both teams try to run the ball early on and try to open up the offense that way.
Yeah, there's a bit of a Taylor Heinicke love fest going on, but I think this is going to be the love fest is going to be Antonio Gibson. I think Josh Jacobs could do something, but I think with this being, I think this is going to be more of a passing game for the Raiders. Just because of the way that secondary for Washington has been playing lately. And plus the Raider secondary has been getting chewed up a lot lately. Even against Dallas last week, it was just a tough game for them. So
big Foster Moreau day, I think, filling in for Waller. I think he sees a lot of targets. We saw what he did without Waller a couple of weeks ago. I believe he had 4 for 60 and a touchdown. So I think more of the same. This could be a great game for Foster Moreau. And then on the Washington side of things, obviously McKissick is going to miss this game. He was knocked out of last Monday night's game with, I believe it was a concussion or neck injury. And so they've asked Ron Rivera about that injury this week. And he actually said that Jarrett Patterson will not be the one replacing McKissick in the offense. It's going to be Wendell Smallwood. So another good name to keep an eye on going forward. And I think he sees a lot of passing down work. They don't want to overuse Gibson. This is a team that's trying to win the division, believe it or not. And they are firmly in the playoff mix right now. So they don't want to overuse a player like Gibson who has one of those nagging injuries like the shin injury that he has. So I think Wendell Smallwood sees quite a few touches this week as well.
Yeah, that one's gonna be very interesting. So, yeah. I know you're kind of we're gonna skip over the next game. We're gonna go to George Kittle.
Okay.
Talking about him as potential tight end one for the week.
My favorite play of the week.
Ooh, go for it. Go for it, amigo.
I love Kittle. He didn't get the work last week. I think he had one target. He was massively underused. They just really didn't need him. That offense was perfectly fine moving the ball against Minnesota. But yeah, in Seattle is obviously out of the picture right now, the playoff picture, but they are hungry. They're going to be angry coming off that Monday Night Football loss. So I think San Francisco is going to need to throw to beat Seattle. They'll have success on the ground. Elijah Mitchell should have no problem on the ground against this defense. But, you know, you look, Debo Samuel is now out. Brandon Ayuk has been playing a lot better and has been receiving a lot of targets. But the touches that Debo Samuel leaves on the field have to go somewhere. And it just doesn't it feel like a Kittle blow up game to me? It really does.
It really does. I think, he's such a yards after the catch monster. And that's where Debo did so much work. I think they're just going to give, they're going to feed Kittle a lot. One of my primos loves to call it Kittle down the middle, just like, you know, between 5 and 10 yards, and just let him just bulldoze the guys, get another 5 to 10 yards. And I think he's going to see at least 10 targets in this game. I think he's in DFS on DraftKings, he's, I think, only $5,900. So I think he's kind of a bargain, of a bargain this week. So I love his play. I mean, I think this is going to be a big game for, I know it's a road game for the 49ers, and you know the 12s are going to be out in force. But yeah, I think it's I still think Kittle, a huge game. Huge game. And Debo Samuel, please get healthy quickly.
Yes, please.
I'm lighting a veladora for you. so we two other guys that we want to talk about before we get you on to your real job.
But one more note. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. One more note about the Niners. Juwan Jennings is going to be filling in for Debo as the number two wide receiver, according to some of the beat reporters there in San Fran. So that's another name. He had a touchdown last week. He looked really good to me. I could see him being a very solid flex play this week.
Yeah, or like a cheap play in DFS, I think.
Definitely.
Yep. Yeah, the Seattle defense, I feel bad for them. So no, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts. Patrick Mahomes, he's the quarterback three in expert consensus rankings going into this week. Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady are ranked higher than him. So we're looking at the game. We talked a little bit about this game at the beginning. It's in Kansas City. So we're looking, so that's in his favor. That Chiefs crowd is going to be out in force coming off the bye week. Tyreek Hill's had some nagging injuries, so maybe he comes back and he's full force. Could this be a blow up game for Mahomes, kind of similar to the week 10 where he had 406 yards and five TDs, which is his only 300 yard game since week six?
Interesting. I think it is. I mean, I don't really know what's going on with Mahomes. You know, he hasn't looked like himself all year, but man, if there ever was a get right week, it is this one, right? Prime time, division rivals. You got Denver. We've talked about it before before we aired here. You know, Denver's secondary, they're bleeding big plays through the air. So I think Mahomes tries to go deep. They don't play a lot of cover two. So I think that there's going to be some chunk gains for sure. And I think Tyreek and Mecole Hardman find some space over the top. I think that we see vintage Travis Kelce this week. For all of those FanDuel players, I like him as one of those two touchdown anytime scorers this week. But yeah, CEH is the wild card. If he is not a full go, if he's not feeling like himself, obviously Darrell Williams can fill in just fine, but I could see the Chiefs leaning a little bit more heavily on the passing offense, you know, and the Denver defense is no slouch. They're even without Von Miller, they are still one of the top units in the league. And we know that they're going to try to shut down, you know, the run game there. And I think that, this could be a sneaky shootout for sure.
Yeah. This one's going to be, this is going to be a lot of Mahomes in this game. And I do think Tyreek, and you mentioned it before, they don't play a lot of that cover two that just kind of like keeps the, you know, that forces quarterbacks to throw short, that I think there's going to be some deep shots. And I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Mecole Hardman gets a deep ball. And all those haters, listen, all the haters out there for Mecole Hardman, just understand everybody wanted him to be Tyreek Hill 2.0. There's only one Tyreek Hill. there's not the quick feet, not just the fast feet, but the quick feet and the sudden movement. You just don't see that with Tyreek Hill.
And there's something we said about the mentality as well. You know, you watch Mecole Hardman when he catches the ball, he celebrates every single time, right? It can be a 5-yard out route. It can be a bubble screen. He goes berserk every time he catches the ball. Some of these wide receivers like Davante Adams, it's like, well, we've been here and we've done that. They catch the ball, they hand it off to the ref and they move on. I'd love to see Mecole, you know, change his mindset a little bit in the offseason. And I'm not sure. I think he probably has one more year under contract, or maybe this is the final year of his rookie deal. But either way, the talent's there. He is crazy fast, but he hasn't put it all together. And, you know, he's had a couple of drops in the recent weeks, and we've seen that his snap share has gone down. You know, I think DeMarcus Robinson has been used more heavily in that offense than Mecole recently. So something to keep an eye on there too. Josh Gordon hasn't really turned out to be exactly what we thought he would be in that Kansas City offense. But I guess that was definitely some naive thinking on fantasy football managers' ends as well. But yeah, you'll see the usuals this week. It'll be heavy Tyreek Hill, heavy Travis Kelce, and there's always a couple of guys that shock the world in Kansas City every week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's going to get, if it's a big game, somebody unexpected ends up getting, and yeah, Hardman, Pringle, Robinson, one of them's going to do that. So last one, it's Monday Night Football. And I think a lot of people may have gotten a little hot and heavy about Mac Jones being the quarterback 7 last week, having a 300 plus yard game last week. I'm throwing up the caution flags to all those people. He's ranked quarterback 22 going into this week. And I just think there's a lot of stuff going against them. It's windy. It's going to be 21. They're expecting 21 mile an hour winds in this game. And they usually say about, you know, after 20 miles, I think they say about 25 miles is when you really start to worry. And that at that point, it's going to be cold, about 27 degrees as a high. I'm looking at this game, and even though the Bills defense has been formidable on all levels, does this kind of feel like more of a running game? And this is a game where, you know, I'd recommend sitting Jones, putting him afuera. Where do you stand on that one?
Yeah, I totally agree. This to me, perfect weather conditions. If they're playing in South Beach, I think the Bills' offense takes off and they can smoke them. But I think Monday Night Football, cold weather, you have two offenses that are going to try to establish the run early. I think the Patriots will be able to run on this Bills defense. We've seen a couple of teams crack that code in the recent weeks. But, you know, Buffalo, what are they going to do? Are they going to lean more on Matt Breida this week? He obviously looked great on Thanksgiving. Or do they go back to this committee approach and mix Singletary in with Zach Moss? So, you know, the Bills are starting to find their identity, and I think they can start to peak at the right time. But this is a major roadblock, and to me, the Patriots are screaming upset alert. I don't know what the spread is. Let me see here.
2.5 Buffalo.
2.5 Buffalo. That's a pretty fair spread. I like the under there at 43. I think it's low scoring.
Yeah.
I would take the 2.5 points for the Pats. This is a tough game for me. I don't think either of the two quarterbacks play especially well. The weather is going to be a key factor here. You know, I think Mac Jones is an easy sit for me, and you have to play Josh Allen just because of the rushing ability. And I think the Patriots will, they always do. They take away the one thing that you're good at. And so Buffalo is good at many things, right? You don't really know exactly what they're going to take away, but something tells me that they are going to force Buffalo to run the ball, and they're going to blanket Stephon Diggs. They're going to try to take away Beasley in the middle of the field. And, they have a lot of weapons. Gabriel Davis is no slouch. And obviously Dawson Knox is coming off of a monster game too, with a couple of touchdowns. So
right.
This is a great game. To me, this is the best game of the week in terms of two teams that just match up very, very well together. And by very well, I mean poorly, because there probably won't be a lot of offense due to that. This is a tough game. Probably a stay away game for me if I was a betting man. But anything can happen, and I will never bet against Bill Belichick. His game plans always seem to work, right?
Yeah, this one kind of seems like a Rock'em Sock'em AFC North game. Kind of like we didn't talk about that game, but the Ravens and Steelers. Kind of like when both defenses were just among the best in the NFL, and it was like a 10-9 game or something like that. I could really see this one, especially with the wind being a factor. I still think Josh Allen will do something special to win this game. But I could see it being a rough game for him, because that New England secondary has been one of the best in the NFL this year. It's been, just a special unit.
Definitely. And since you're on the subject of the Pittsburgh and Baltimore game, one thing to note there, it sounds like Cam Hayward may miss that game along with JJ Watt. So if that's the case, ooh. I'm just waiting for the Lamar Jackson breakout game. It feels like it's got to be here. Pittsburgh is on the downward spiral, and I think they're realizing very fast that it was a big mistake to bring Ben back. You know, he's a legend, a future Hall of Famer, but his time is up over there. And this offense needs to build around Najee Harris and bring in a good, young, solid quarterback, not named Mason Rudolph.
or Dwayne Haskins.
or Dwayne Haskins, right. I think this is a huge Baltimore week. I think hopefully it's the Rashad Bateman breakout week that all of us fantasy fans have been hoping and praying for. But end of the day should be Lamar Jackson rushing for 150 yards against a defense without its top two interior linemen. So I see nothing but fireworks for Baltimore. I think they cover. They probably hit the over thanks to their offense. And, Pittsburgh will play some catch up. So there will be some Chase Claypool. I think Marlon Humphrey is actually, I believe he was a no practice today. So he may not play
on Fridays.
You don't like to see that, right? He may have even been downgraded from limited to DNP. So if he's out, then you like Claypool, you like Deontay. I could see a lot of Pat Freiermuth this week. I love him. He's electric, and Big Ben obviously doesn't feel comfortable going deep anymore. So he is that safety blanket underneath. So yeah, that could be a sneaky fun fantasy game right there. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, typically low scoring, typically defense rules, but I think it's a shootout.
Yeah, I think both teams are gonna be able to score some points through the air on that one. Strangely, as it sounds, but oh man, Miguel, this was so much fun. I know you got to get to work.
Yes, sir.
So you got to get suited and booted. Otra vez. So the at Fantasy Umpire, that's on Twitter, right?
Yes. Yeah. So I have a personal Twitter account called Kitchen Sizzle, but I don't really use that for fantasy related news. I usually just keep that professional. So I created a second account called Fantasy Umpire, and that is where I tweet all things fantasy football. So definitely feel free to give me a follow, and thank you so much for having me on, Jorge. And thank you to your listeners and fans for putting up with me. So this has been a blast, man. I'll do it anytime you want. This is so fun.
Oh, this is a blast. This is a blast. I'm glad you threw it out there, and I'm glad we were able to fit it in around schedules and especially time zones. Yeah. Oh, I got it. Oh. So, familia, eso es todo for our show. Also, please make sure you give us a like and subscribe on YouTube. Also, make sure you're following us, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We are on there thanks to Anchor. You're also going to find original content at familiaffb.com. You can find me, Jorge Martin 17, right here on Twitter, also Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you're following Familia FFB. Otra vez, Dan, Daniel Cocina, Dan Kitchen. thank you so much. Fue un gran placer. And gracias to you, everybody, for watching and listening. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.